Above all things, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm,
His love endures forever.
For the life that's been reborn,
His love endures forever. Sing praise.
To the setting sun,
His love endures forever,
and by the grace of God we will carry on.
His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, forever.
Forever God is with us, forever and
love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Before we sit down, Psalm 92, 4 to 5. Let's read together. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. You may be seated as we continue.
Should give you. Isn't it nice to have baby dedication? Is it nice to have fun in church and laugh occasionally too? That God gave us the ability to laugh and have fun and enjoy things and see it as a joyous occasion. Next Sunday, don't forget, we have Biker Sunday. So you can ride your bikes if you want. If you have bikes, ride them. Should be a good service. We'll have communion next week. Some of you are wondering why we didn't have this morning. I didn't want to have too many things in a row. And I did make the message a little bit shorter, so you'll probably be rejoicing about that this morning. It might linger, though. You never know. I mean, but I did use less pages. I can't guarantee anything. Okay. Some prayer requests this morning. Isaac Shoup's in the hospital. I don't know if you heard or not. Email came out this morning. Has some kind of a mass in his abdomen. He was having some pain, so about 12:43 or something like that. Got an email saying that he's in a doctor's west. They're going to determine what it is. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's a cyst or they don't know what it is for sure, but so they're going to do something today, I think, to try to find out what that is. Ernie came this morning. He wasn't feeling well, so he drove home. He said he's been feeling sick for a number of weeks now, trying to figure out what it is. You know, he had the thing where he was bleeding, so they had to go to the dentist, and they cauterized whatever they did. Then he's been having headaches, so he's going to see a neurologist. I don't know if he did or not, but pray for that. Pat McAvoy, somebody delivered food to them yesterday. I don't know who was that. And how are they doing? They haven't said anything, so. Okay. I was exhausted, still tired. They wanted to start doing things with their arm now to try to rehab it. If you don't use your arm after a surgery, a lot of times it just doesn't work very well and you can't raise it, so they wanted to do some of that. Continue to pray for Donna and Dee and Lois Proper, and I don't know who all the other ones are, but we have a number of people that are sick or have surgeries coming up, those kind of things. So pray for them this morning. Any other requests we have this morning? Tina? Okay. Okay, so an unspoken request, and then her brother's had a couple strokes, so pray for that as well. What's that? Ernie, he came and went home this morning. He's having headaches, so we're going to pray for him. Pray for our VBS coming up. Not just that we have a lot of kids, but no matter what kids we have, that the message of Christ is clear to them, that they can make a decision for whatever they choose. At least they can hear the gospel, I'm sure. Probably some of them have never heard, don't even know what that is, don't even know who Jesus is. A lot of adults nowadays don't know that or reject it. So maybe we can have an impact on the community of West Jeff at least, and then maybe that'll kind of take off. The news for LifeWise Academy, the board was saying they want to wait till next year possibly or something like that. So we're trying to meet with them again and talk to them. They said they had some questions. We didn't get a chance to answer any questions, so we want to meet with them, answer questions. And hopefully that'll be this year or the second half of the year possibly. So pray for LifeWise Academy. If you don't know what that is, that's allowing the kids to get release time from school during one of their electives and be taught about the Bible. So it's not a denominational thing. It's strictly from the Scripture. And so we're not trying to proselytize the kids. We're just trying to tell them who Christ is and some of those kind of stories. And I don't know if you know, years ago they used to have those Bible cards. They have a picture on the front and then stories in the back. Any of you guys have those? We used to use them a lot. We'll have those kind of things for them as well. They'll be able to take something home. So pray they take something home more than a card, that they maybe take Christ home with them. So that's another thing we can pray for. Anything else? Larry?
I have a lot of trouble with breathing and high pulse.
Okay.
He's
having trouble breathing. Okay. Stephen Joy Miller were exposed to COVID. They don't have it, I don't think, but they were just kind of being careful. And then his brother Gary, we're still praying for them. So, yep. Okay. So for Sandy, for not needing radiation. So, all right, let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thanks for bringing us here. Thanks for the dedication of Levi this morning, Lord, as we've given him to you, and he's yours, and we just put him in your hands. Let's pray for all these different requests, Lord, for Larry and Sandy and Tina and Dan and all the other ones that we've mentioned this morning, for Ernie and Pastor Shoup, for Steve and Joy and his brother Gary, and Lord, all the other ones that that we mentioned today. Lord, you know those requests personally, and you take them personal. Lord, they're your children, and you love and care for them, and they have needs and concerns and need a touch of healing or need a touch of inspiration or need to renew their faith in you. Maybe they haven't had a good relationship. They've walked away, and they need to come back. I don't know what situation that each one is in, but you know that we're praying this morning, Lord, for this LifeWise Academy that would come to fruition this year for the kids in West Jeff. And that we pray for the VBS, Lord, that would have great impact in the community, that people would become saved. Whether they go to church here or not, that doesn't matter, as long as they know you as their Lord and Savior. Pray for Biker Sunday coming up as well, that the bikers will be here, that they can hear the message, and for communion that we're having is also. Pray for the message this morning. Pray for Dave as he does a special, for Dan's former boss, Lord, for all the different requests that we have for Dee and Donna and Pat McAvoy, and Lord, there's just so many requests that we have that we could go on and on, but you know what they are this morning. We've spoken some of them. We just pray that people are praying in their hearts for others, for Larry, Lord, for his breathing, that he sees a doctor and gets some help in that. So we just pray for all these things, Lord, and help us to be witnesses for you in all that we say and do. We know we're not perfect, but we know that you are. We pray in your name. Amen. We're going to do something this morning we haven't done for a long time. Stand up for a minute and greet somebody that you haven't seen for a while. Since COVID, we haven't really done that, have we? I'm like, oh, I can't touch you. Get away from me. So take a few minutes and say hi to somebody. Maybe somebody you haven't seen before. Maybe somebody that's new, somebody hasn't been here for a while. Okay, let's get back in order. Come on, order here, people. Order, order. Your freedom was last week. That was 4th of July. Your freedom is over now, so let's get back in order here. As you can tell, I like to joke around, have fun. I think God's word can be fun. We can also be serious at times, too. You need both of those things, I think. We're talking about something serious this morning, though, responsibility. To some people, that's a dirty word today, isn't it? They think they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, to whoever they want. If they do something wrong, it's not their fault. It's not fair. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. So responsibility is a big thing for us. It's important for us as Christians, especially. I have a few slides about responsibility up here. Mother comes in a room and sees it a mess. So the question is, who did this? Child says, not me. You ever done that with your kids? You walk in the room? Not me, I didn't do it. Well, there's nobody else here. Teacher administers a test and the student's caught copying off another student. Teacher confronts them and says, did you copy? No, I didn't copy off them. We just have the same answers exactly, even spelled the same way. This is a serious one. A person's been drinking and decides to drive, runs in the back of another car. At a stoplight, the police arrives and talks to the intoxicated driver. And they say, it wasn't my fault. They stopped in front of me. There's a red light. Responsibility. Somebody's responsible, right? But they don't want to take responsibility for that. Here's another one that's serious. A young man gets his girlfriend pregnant. When he's confronted with his deed, he responds, it's not my fault. You deal with it. How many times do we see people shirking responsibility in those cases? My daughter and I were talking about the other day. I won't tell you which daughter because that way they can't say I talked about them. I have three, so it's one of the three. About this particular thing. If you're involved in the pregnancy, you're responsible, right? If you decide you're not getting married, you're still responsible financially for that child, for that mother, to help raise the child till they get to the age of where they can take care of themselves. We've kind of said, well, it's not my fault. Well, it is your fault. You're part of it. You need to be part of the solution and part of the life of that child, whether you're married to that person or not. That's one that bothers me a lot of times. I think about that. So we can go on with examples and examples and examples where people refuse to take responsibility, either partially or fully. They deny responsibility, but that doesn't make it any less, does it? Person can say, I'm not responsible. Well, you did it. You're liable. You are responsible. Whether you take that responsibility to heart or not is a different story, but it doesn't change the fact that you're responsible for that. If you injure somebody, you're responsible. Maybe you did it accidentally, but you still have a part of that. Whether you say you're sorry, whatever it may be. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. When I read that verse, responsibility came to my mind. There's a responsibility when you read that verse. You were darkness, now you're light. Walk as children of light. We have a responsibility to walk as children of the light, not children of darkness. We need to be different. As Christians, we know the Lord. We're not in darkness anymore. We know what's going to happen if we pass away. At one time, we didn't know what Jesus did for us. We didn't know who he was. We didn't know anything about him. There's people like that. We can't expect them to be living in the light, can we? But we need to be light in those cases. We need to be different. We can't be the same as everybody else. We need to show that we're different. When we accept Christ, we're able to see the light. The Holy Spirit comes into us, and sometimes you read the scripture, verses you've read before, become clear. You say, I've read that before, but now today, for some reason, God has shown me what this really means, or it really applies to my life. I don't know if you've done that before, read a passage before, and then all of a sudden you read it one day, and all of a sudden, this makes sense. I understand what this means now. Talks about he opens up our eyes and gives us understanding so we can see what he's saying. So because of that light that he gives us, the knowledge of the Lord, we're supposed to live in a responsible way so others can see it. Matthew 5:14-16, you've heard this before. You are the light of the world. A town built upon a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In that same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We went to, I think it was Carlsbad Caverns a few years ago, 30-something, whatever it was, years ago. And they take you down in the ground like a mile underground, an elevator. It's no big deal. You go in this cave, probably four or five times the size of this room. They turn all lights off. And he lights one match. And you can see the whole cave with one match, one tiny match. When we were kids, we used to sing that song, "It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going." How one person can be that light, that spark, that inspiration to somebody else. You don't know what kind of day they're having. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know their past. But that's not important. The important thing is, how do you interact with them today? What do you say with them? What do you say to them now? So the Bible says, as a believer, we're supposed to be a light for those who are in darkness. And I believe we're a light for other Christians as well. We watch what other people are doing, don't we? We see what they're doing. We see how they act and how they react to certain situations. But how do we do that? We read God's Word. And we pray for guidance and direction, for Him to show us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to do this. Help me not to say what I want to say right now, right? Help me not to react in that way. Help me to be the example that I should be. We're supposed to glorify God in all that we say and do and be seen as different. Do we ever mess up? I do. I don't know if you do, but I mess up. My kids will tell you, right? Yeah, you did this, you did that. You don't try to, but you mess up. You try to make it right. You try to do better. You do the best that you can do. I think a lot of times parents get frustrated because they mess up. But we don't know all the rules. We don't know all the things. We don't know what we're supposed to do all the time. We do the best we can do and hope that our kids forgive us the times we messed up, and we try to go on and do the best we can do. And so you just try to say, well, my parents did the best that they knew how. Has every parent done that? No. Some parents walk away. Some parents don't spend time with their kids, right? They do other things when their kids are the most important things in their lives, because those are the ones who are going to be the next generation. Those are the ones you want to input your life into, spend as much time as you can with, to show them that you love and care for them, right? So we're supposed to be a light to our kids especially. As Christians, we have a number of responsibilities. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12, it tells us a few of those. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what's good for each other and for everyone else. A lot of responsibilities in there, aren't there? You look at that verse, I mean, we could go on for a long time with that. Stop it. We have to acknowledge others' hard work. Isn't it good when you've worked hard and somebody says, man, nice job. Kathy and Chris and Everett and all those people this week have been doing all these scenery things for VBS. Verna doing all her copying, all that stuff she's been doing. To say, hey, thanks for doing that. You know, the mowing the lawn, decorating, cleaning, all kinds of stuff that happens, church picnic and everything else. Somebody had to do that, right? I'm going to do a message one time that's going to say everybody's somebody. And when you hear the phrase, somebody ought to do that, yeah, you're somebody. Maybe it's you. How many times do we point to somebody else and say, man, somebody should do that? Right? Maybe we need to think, well, maybe I'm the somebody. Maybe I should do that. Instead of just pointing it out, maybe I'm the one who should. I'm not going to do that message right now. We're supposed to love others. Live in peace. Warn those who are idle and disruptive. People who just want to lay around and do nothing. One of the worst things that was ever created, I think, video games. My kids love video games. I used to play video games. But how many hours do you spend going when you could be doing something else? I mean, I've done it. I've been there. I got killed so many times, I quit doing it. But there's other things we can do. It's not just video games, all kinds of things people do that they could be doing something else. My wife likes to walk, and that's a good thing. She asked me to walk, and I say, well, what am I walking for? Am I chasing somebody? Is somebody chasing me? No. I'm like, okay, well, throw a ball in front of me like a little puppy, you know. We all have things that we do, things we need to do, but I think to keep us healthy physically and I think spiritually, we need to be active. You can't just sit and do nothing. Help somebody, pray for somebody, call somebody, whatever it may be that you're doing. This is good when he says, make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong. Always strive to do good. Anybody has brothers and sisters? You always paid back wrong for wrong, didn't you? She smacked me. Well, he smacked me first. It always happens like that, doesn't it? And then the mom says, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Because it doesn't make it any better. Because then if you smack them, they smack you, then they're going to want to smack you back, and then you're going to want to smack them back, and it never evens out. It's never even. So paying back wrong for wrong doesn't always work. He says, always strive to do good. If you're always striving to do good, you're probably never going to get in trouble. At least not in trouble for doing anything bad. You don't usually get in trouble for doing something good. And then he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So Christians especially need to be rejoicing. Not saying I'm glad this happened, but I'm glad God's with me as this is happening, or because this happened, whatever it may be. Prayer is one of our most powerful avenues for connecting with God, for getting direction, for finding forgiveness. Is prayer, not ignoring things. We have responsibility to pray not only for ourselves but others, for healing and for impossible situations. I texted Isaac about, said, praying for you, brother. He said, prayer's the answer. I have a friend who lives in Newark named Chuck. And that's his answer to everything he says. Prayer's the answer. Prayer's the answer. Prayer's the answer. Because it is. God says, cast all your cares on me. Seek and you'll find. All those things, we pray. That's how we communicate with him. We have responsibility to our kids. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This verse talks about fathers. But I think it could also apply to mothers, single parents, even grandparents. Don't exasperate your kids. Don't make them all frustrated. Right? It'll make them get mad at you. I can't say I've never done that. I've done it occasionally. It wasn't always good, though. Now they do it to me. We have responsibility, the best of our ability, to train them up the best way we know how in the Lord. That doesn't guarantee they're going to follow the Lord. That just means they know, they have the information, right? They know what's right. They can choose to do wrong, it's their choice, but hopefully they know what's right, and eventually they're going to come around to what's right. They're going to do the right thing. Receive Christ as their Savior for the forgiveness of sins. Teach them about prayer and reading the Word. You know, we always talk about, you know, pray the sinner's prayer. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. The sinner's prayer. It says, ask him into your heart, open the door. It doesn't say how you have to do it. To me, that was like a profound thing this week. I'm like, wow, it doesn't. There's no special prayer. You can just say, God, I need you, come in. It doesn't have to be, say, Lord, I need you, forgive my sins, all these things. We just have to have it in our heart, saying we need God in our heart. And how we accept Him may be different for different people, but it's the same God coming into your heart, isn't it? Maybe you didn't say a certain prayer, but you said, God, I need you, come in and help me. And you know He's there. To me, that's an important thing. They just need to know at some point you need to ask Christ to come and be your Savior. Because sometime, as a parent, you won't be there. It's going to be your own child's choice. They can't live off their parents' faith. They have to have their own. They haven't accepted Christ. There's nothing you can do about it except be an example and encourage them that I want to see you in heaven someday. And that's how you're going to get there, by knowing Christ and following Him. But responsibility not only lies with parents, but it relies with kids as well. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life in the land. So children, obey your parents not only because they're your parents, but because it's right, because it pleases God. If they're Christians, they're hopefully living a godly example for you. But I think that's mostly for younger kids. The second part, honor your father and mother, comes with, I think, older teens, young adults, and even adult kids, to honor your parents. Treat them with love and courtesy. It doesn't mean you're always going to agree with your parents. Doesn't mean they're going to tell you things like, go clean your room. You're like, I don't even live here, right? But honor and respect them. They have an opinion. They have an idea. They've been around a little longer than you have, hopefully, right? Listen to your parents. Honor and respect them. Treat them with love and dignity, that it may go well with you. You may have a long life. I think that'll take away a lot of stress that families have as well, if parents honor their kids and kids honor their parents. Husbands have responsibility to your wives. Ephesians 5, husbands, you ought to love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body. It's a privilege and responsibility to love our wives, to care for them as we do our own bodies, protect them and provide for them. I'm still learning that. I'm still learning that, even now. But we can only do it through Christ. None of us is perfect, but it doesn't mean we give up. We keep trying to do better. And hopefully we learn after a certain amount of time. Wives are not off the hook either. They have responsibility. She's supposed to be a helper according to Genesis 2:18. Respect her husband, Ephesians 5:33. She's to love her husband, Titus 2:4. She also should love the Lord, right? It takes two to make a marriage. It takes two to end a marriage. Both need to be cooperative in there. And if they both have compassion for each other, and for the Lord, I think He'll give them wisdom in how to make things work. We have responsibility to work hard, don't we? All of us, no matter what we're doing, we're supposed to work for the Lord. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We're responsible for what we do at work, regardless of what the person next to us does. If you're out there and you work for the county, which I used to do in the summer, and they spray tar and you're shoveling stone, if the guy or girl next to you is not shoveling stone, it doesn't mean you can't. You still need to do your job, because you represent Christ as a Christian. And they're going to say, that person's a Christian. Look, they're doing nothing over there. Right? You may not say it to your face, but they're thinking that. You're representing Christ in all you do and all you say, no matter what your job is. If your job is to clean the toilet and make it the cleanest toilet you've ever seen, because that's your job. You're representing Christ in that job. Don't do it halfway. If you can do it halfway, I would say just don't do it then. you're not a bad example. Abraham Lincoln said, you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. Read that to yourself a couple times. I think what Abe is saying is you might avoid your responsibility today, but it'll catch up with you. Sooner or later, you're going to have to face it. Whether it's a job, whether it's a family, whether it's school, whatever it may be, it's going to come sometime. But I think our greatest responsibility is found in Mark 12, 30 and 31. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, for there's no commandment greater than these. We're responsible for our relationship with the Lord, each one of us individually. Your kids have their relationship, parents have their relationship, we each have our own relationship responsible. That means we're all having the opportunity to accept Him, to surrender to Him, to live like we're supposed to. And it's a matter of our heart, not what we say, not how we accept Him. Our mind needs to be set on Him in all His ways, for His strength, to be loving, to be kind, to love people. If you love people and treat them like Christ wants them to be treated, that takes care of a lot of the problems, doesn't it? We see people like He saw them. Zig Ziglar, if you ever read any of his books, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think is one of his, says, though I'm not always responsible for what happens to me, I'm responsible for how I handle what happens to me. That's what Russ was telling us this morning, right? 90% of it is how you handle it. You can't control what people do to you, but you can control what you do after and what you say. Things happen, they're tough and trying times, but how we handle them makes a difference. Do you respond in anger? Do you hide in fear? Do you shut down? Do you trust the Lord and walk in faith, even though you're not sure what's happening? But you're responsible for your actions. No one can make you do something. I used to say, well, she made me do it. He made me do it. Like, no, you chose to do it. Take responsibility for what you do. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, you first have to know Him as your Savior. Ask for forgiveness of sins and accept Him, and He'll help you do what He wants you to do. So many refuse to take responsibility, but refusing to take responsibility doesn't make it go away. Just because you choose not to do it doesn't mean it's still not your responsibility. So as Christians, we're called to be light, to reflect the Lord in what we say and do, to be an example to believers and non-believers, to work hard, to love others. This is only a part of it. But responsibility is not a burden if you do it for the Lord, is it? If you're doing what's right for the right reason, it's not a burden. When you're raising your kids, you love them, it's not a burden. You do it out of love. That story where that kid in Africa walked a mile to a hospital carrying his brother. And they said, man, he's really heavy, isn't he? He said, no, he's not heavy, he's my brother. He's my brother. I would carry him 2 miles, 5 miles, whatever, because he's my brother. Sometimes we need to carry each other, don't we, when we're going through rough times, and help them. Responsibility to love each other, to care for each other. Not shirk that responsibility. Somebody's having a hard time. Somebody's struggling. We need to help them because they're our brother, aren't they? Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this day. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for, again, the dedication of a child this morning, Lord. We've done several before when we did Cora and Silas and Jude and different ones, and we just thank you for those times that we have that we remember. But Lord, this morning, let us be responsible for how we act, how we react, how we represent you, and be responsible to one another in the church as our brothers and sisters, as a family of God. Let us show our love and compassion to our wives, to our husbands, to our kids, to our parents. In your name, amen.
Would you stand this morning? Let's close out with, Lord, you're more precious than silver.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Oh,
Hasn't it been good to be in the house of the Lord? All right. Go and have a great day. Thank you.